are changing some things up, and so there's no way that Ken would have known all of that as far as that order. It's a lot to remember. But our scripture reading will actually come at a different point in the service, and so I will save that for that particular time. It is good to be together tonight, and I want to thank you for joining us in this special service, a service that we've simply entitled Open Hearts to Haiti. And I will tell you this from a personal standpoint, this service could not have come on a better day because allergies are attacking me, and therefore my throat is feeling it. And so I'm grateful to be a part of it, but I'm also grateful for the other men who will be speaking tonight. What's funny is I have about 5 to 10 minutes. And when that was said with Greg Allen sitting up front, I really thought he was going to fall over dead to think that I could say anything in 5 to 10 minutes. But my goal tonight is obviously to fit within that. It is a good evening to be together. And tonight we're definitely focusing on the events surrounding Haiti, but also more so than that, we're talking about a bigger picture here at Florence Boulevard. You know, we're blessed here at Florence Boulevard with a mission-minded congregation. You all were mission-minded well before we got here, and we've been able to observe that. It's very evident. One of the most impressive things that I saw about this congregation was your commitment to World Bible School, and how any congregation that will devote that much of their facility to missions has got to be focused in the right area. And then you get here and you start learning more and more about this congregation, and you find out that it's a mission-minded congregation, not just in facility, but also in resources. And I'm grateful that that's the case. I'm grateful that last week that we were able to put out a plea and that this congregation responded. That tells me something about this congregation. And so I'm grateful tonight to be able to start off this Open Hearts to Haiti service, talking about a subject that I think is core to what the rest of the speakers will be mentioning, but it's core to our own lives. And that is the subject of motivation. You know, I don't know when it comes to the subject of motivation, what you think about. Motivation has been defined as that which moves one toward an action, that which changes or provokes or impels our very being. In other words, it hits you at your core so much so that you cannot help but want to change whatever it is you're talking about. Maybe it is in the sense of the physical shape that we're in. Maybe it's in the sense of habits that we have that need to be broken. Maybe it's in the sense of relationships that need to be mended and that are worth going the extra mile to fix, to say I'm sorry, and to mend. Motivation is at the core of all of those. And I will tell you this, without motivation, oftentimes there is no action and there is no behavior change and there is no effort. It's interesting when you start thinking about the world's view of motivation. The world is motivated by self, motivated by the idea of the all about me syndrome, and identifies what is called self-determination and self-obsession. And ultimately, at the end of the day, most of the world's motivation is self-worship. I want this and I want that. And oftentimes it's because of the benefit of me. But you see, Christianity is not supposed to be that. Christianity is supposed to have another source as our motivation. It's supposed to be almost you would say a backwards concept. Because ultimately, when you really look at what is the motivation for Christians, you come last. That's the model. That's why I will tell you this tonight, that a motivation that we are supposed to have as I look forward to my life and every aspect of my life, a motivation for a Christian begins with my humility. In other words, I've got to keep this in proper perspective. Jesus was addressed numerous times within the scriptures regarding becoming great and those who wanted to be great. But over in Matthew chapter 23, verses 11 and 12, the Bible reads this way, "But the greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." The Christian faith is one of self-denial, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. It's one where we pick up our cross and we follow Him, but it's not a following Him when it's only easy or when it benefits us. It is an emptying of self because my motivation begins with humility. The Apostle Paul would say it this way over in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, dealing with a congregation that needed some mending and needed some healing. He said, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself." It's not that you can't look to your own needs. That's not it at all. But you see, for a Christian, motivation is not the elevation of self. As a matter of fact, for a Christian, motivation is the absolute opposite of that. It's the humbling of self. But you see, it's because of His glorification. That's what we seek at the end of the day. Our motivation is not a bank account that continues to grow. And what's sad and what's difficult to understand, I say sad, it's only sad in the sense that we struggle between our humanity and our Christian walk. It's not even securing for ourselves a future where we have luxury or where we don't have to worry. That's not what our goal is. I sometimes wonder if some of us are not working so much for our retirement that we forget that we're not supposed to retire in the eyes of God. Oh, I didn't say stop, that you're not supposed to stop working. But sometimes retirement comes with an interesting concept. It comes with a mentality, I've done my diligence, I'm done, let somebody else do it. And the reality is, in Christianity, it's not that way. It's not that way at all. Jesus, when I look at the great example of ones who sought His glorification and sought the glorification of the Father, rather, I'm reminded of passages like John chapter 4 and verse 43 and follow, or 34 rather, and following, where the Bible says, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work." Jesus would go on to talk about in John chapter 8 and verse 29 a similar idea when He said, "And He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to Him." You see, the motivation even for Jesus was to do the will of the Father. The motivation for Jesus was to become obedient even to the point of death and death on the cross. You see, for Jesus, there was no I've done enough concept. Because His whole life was lived to the glorification of God. When I look at the Apostle Paul, I also see a great example of what it means to be motivated to advance the cause of Christ for His glorification. I read of passages like 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and following, where the Bible says, "Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so, in far more labors and far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys and dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren." And I keep reading and I have to ask myself, why would anyone put themselves at such great risk? Why would anyone go through such suffering? Why would anyone go through such emptying? And the Apostle Paul answers that question. And I would offer this for you, that his motivation tonight and the fact that he was all about the glorification of God and the fact that he was all about, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 23, "I do all things for the sake of the gospel so that I may become a fellow partaker of it," that motivating factor is the same motivating factor that needs to drive you tonight. Do you realize that the idea of open hearts to Haiti is all about heaven? That's what this is. It's an understanding that my life begins with putting myself last and putting others ahead of me. That includes everything. That includes my intents. It includes my finances, it includes my energies. And some days, I will tell you this, sometimes it feels like you give everything to everybody else. And you know what? The reality is God's already given you everything to fill your cup. And when you look at your life in the way of a vessel, He's already poured forth into you that's overflowing the top of your cup. And what He's saying is this, if you trust in me to take care of your needs, then you will not only have all you need, but you will have an abundance. And therefore, the individual who reflects upon God's goodness, upon God's love, upon the salvation that we have through Jesus, they cannot help but but be motivated by wanting to glorify the one who has poured forth so much on us. What is your motivation? What is your carrot? For some, it's the elevation of self. For some, it's the concept of, I do this so that I'll feel better about myself. But I would offer this to you. What we're talking about tonight is not about ourselves and elevating even this congregation outside of understanding that we are simply a part of the body of Christ. It's not to make ourselves feel better. You know what tonight's about? It's about shining a light and pouring forth on others what God has already abundantly poured forth into our vessels, that is overflowing the cup to individuals who have not received the same things that we've received. I'm grateful to be able to begin tonight. I'm grateful to be able to turn it over to Mike Davis, who's going to introduce more and talk more specifically about some of what we are doing and some of what the needs are maybe in Haiti. So Mike, come on up, brother.
Once again, I'm humbled to be here, thankful that I was allowed last week to make an appeal to this congregation, and as usual, you came through with flying colors, and I had several things prepared that I want to say tonight, and I'm going to talk about a couple of things here, but I don't know if you've ever been thrown a curveball by a six-year-old before, but when I walked into the building tonight, a six-year-old threw a curveball, and I swung, and I missed. In this jar is $6.13. And on the jar it says, love to the kids from Embry. That's sacrificial giving. What you did was sacrificial giving. There's no words of mine to say thank you enough. And we were at 8661 this morning. We collected some more. And as of right now, if I'm correct in my addition, we're at $8,996.13, including the $6.13 in this cup. The place where we are trying to get out of, if you will, is Lilyvale. We talked about that a little bit on Wednesday or Sunday last week. This building was built after... Harry can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe this was built by a Japanese relief agency after the earthquakes in 2012. It lacks a lot of things. It is sufficient for their needs at this time. You can see the wall there is fairly short. There's a Congregation of the Lord's Church right there, so basically a tin-roofed facility there. This facility has served well for a while, but the time has come, and I explained some of that the other day when we talked. It's time to do something better. This is what the cooking facilities looked like when we first got there last summer. You see Brother Julian that has now passed away, the 100-pound propane bottle and the three-burner stove that they now have, and those ladies are very proud to have that and have that to cook with. The mattresses that were purchased by this congregation and delivered there and installed, we took the others out and put them in a pile, so hopefully they got burned and nobody will have to ever sleep on those again. But you did that. You provided that. One of the things that I talked about the other day, too, very quickly, is where Lilyvale is in the city of Port-au-Prince. It is in a very urban environment. Safety is difficult in Haiti anyway, but where we are talking about going will be much safer. You see here... the area around where the land is going to be purchased is much more rural. The Congregation of the Lord's Church there across the street, the school, this is the Bonet Church, the proposed orphanage, and the other day I told you that it had a wall completely around it, and I was corrected. If you look in the picture, you can actually see it. The wall is there, so we will be using some of the funds to extend the wall, but for now we do have parts of the most of the facility itself is enclosed within the wall. And then the other wall will be built out to here. So this will give them a good size area. And I did have to actually get a couple of pictures. I think John Clabert took these pictures, but I got them from Arby. So this is from another piece of property looking over. And where you see the truck is actually the wall and that piece of property. And then you see another view of that kind of from inside or either up on top of this wall into there. And you see that... this facility is much more rural than the other facility was. One of the things that we discussed when we first started trying to figure out how this was going to come about was the logistics of this whole situation and the safety of these children. And parts of us want to bring these children home. We'd love to send an airplane down there and pack them all up and bring them home. But if you bring those 53 home, and then there'll be 53 more right behind them. So the way to change Haiti is to teach them God's word and take care of their basic needs and take care of their necessities and teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ and help them change Haiti. That's the only way we're ever going to change Haiti from a country that takes to a country that gives. I truly and honestly believe that. And I've not been to Haiti very many times, but I can see that the hope and the future of Haiti is the children. That's what we're trying to do by making this move. The next step, obviously, will be building a building. We're working some avenues for that. We're going to apply through USAID. The U.S. spends $246 million with an M dollars in Haiti every year anyway, and there's no reason that we can't get some of that money to build a school building, an orphanage building in Haiti. Now, that may not work out. We may have to do the same thing all over again, but if we have to go door to door and fill up jars like this, that's what we're going to do, because we're going to get these children a place to stay. These are the pictures of the children that I showed you the other day. These are some of the current residents of the facility. Now let's talk about food. Food in Haiti is a commodity like it is anywhere else in the world. It's a necessity as it is anywhere else in the world. And basically, the people of Haiti are hungry. The staples in Haiti are rice and beans. You can see there the 50-pound bags of beans, and the young man's laying on bags of rice. These are the bags of rice and beans that were purchased when we were in Haiti last year. Now we have a delivery set up once a month, and it's delivered to the children. But one of the things that's very important for children is to make sure they get the proper nutrition. Rice and beans, I don't know if you've ever eaten rice and beans for very long at a time, but you get tired of eating rice and beans real quick, and rice and beans aren't very nutritious if you don't have something else to go with it. This is a chart from the USAID website talking about food security. And it's hard to see this, but if you didn't have anybody in your country that needed any food, you would be at 100. There's Haiti. That's the poorer countries in Africa, if you will. And then this is Haiti itself here. And this is the rest of the developed world. Their current score is a 29.1 out of 100. Global Hunger Index. Haiti is at lower is better on this one. This is a world average. There's Haiti, 42.6. In 2008, it's actually gotten a little bit worse, down to 34.2. Prevalence of malnourishment in children. You see, at 46.8, it has been as high as 56.1% of the population, 57.1, now it's at 46. Haiti ranks first out of 27 in the region. This is the Caribbean region in the Western Hemisphere. Income group, they're second out of 24 in this group, the second lowest. Central African Republic, you have to go all the way to Africa to find another country that's worse off, if you will. And then the world rank for Haiti is second out of 162 nations. People in Haiti live on usually less than a dollar a day. And there's much suffering. So what we're proposing, and we have proposed for the last couple of years, is RUTF, ready-to-use therapeutic food, RUTF. And guess what? RUTF is produced in this part of the world. Peanut butter. There are your major peanut-producing states in the United States. Kind of ironic that we're right in the middle of all that. Major and minor production states for peanut butter. This is the child in Malawi. Look at his foot. You see how swollen that is, the edema, the belly that's bloated out. This gentleman is a doctor, and he's doing a lot of work in Malawi and other African countries with formulating peanut butter and then mixing it with some other things, some other vitamins and minerals to give to these children. But plain old peanut butter like you and I eat on a peanut butter sandwich. I want you to see what this can do. This is a child before treatment. You see how swollen he is. This is the same child 2 weeks in to the treatment. And that's a child after 6 weeks of being given supplements of peanut butter. A lot of difference a little bit of food can make. And you think, how much food does it take? 100 grams of peanut butter a couple of times a day. A couple of times a day, a couple of teaspoons of peanut butter, and we can keep these children from starving to death. Now, I haven't priced peanut butter lately. Mark did that, I'm sure, and he's going to tell you all about that here in just a few minutes. But there's no reason in my mind that any children in this hemisphere or any other should die because they don't have a little bit of peanut butter to eat. The World Health Organization says that the team has treated more than 100,000 severely malnourished children with, on average, a 90% recovery rate. Now, that's better than probably malaria or dysentery or any of the other diseases that go on, but 90% of the kids that are given this extra nutrition make it. It doesn't require cooking. It doesn't have to be refrigerated. It's a superfood, high-quality nutritional needs. 100 grams of protein gives you 20 of peanut butter gives you 25% of your daily nutritious needs. Of fat is 50%, protein 25%, and 20% of carbohydrates you need in a day, and 6% of dietary fiber. Thank you for what you've done. There's more work to do. There's more prayers to be offered. There's more people that are needed to go with us and RV and Harry and others that go to Haiti. There's lots more work to be done, but let's think about right now that we've solved the problem of getting the land. I talked to RV on Wednesday, and they've already wired half of the money down there. The lawyers are working on the paperwork. Hopefully in the next couple of weeks I'll be able to report that the land is purchased and everything's good with that. The 53 children at Lilyvale will be recipients of some of this peanut butter. And as we go throughout the rest of the night, I want you to think about those faces and think about those children and understand that you are the reason and you will be the reason that some of these children don't starve to death this year. Thank you.
Colton is going to read our scripture for the night, which will tie into what we're talking about. After he reads that scripture, we are glad to have Brother Harry Hames with us. He is, you've seen him here before. He was here last year. He's there. He sees the fruits of the labor that goes on here. He sees the importance of it. He sees the need of it. And I just want you to know he wanted to be with us tonight. He spoke in the Gatlinburg area this morning. So it was a pretty lengthy drive on in here, and we're glad to have him. I can't thank him enough for coming and being able to share a little bit more about the work that's going on, the good that it does here after Colton.
Let's go ahead and stand for the reading. The reading is coming from Matthew 25, 31 through the end of the chapter. Again, that's Matthew 25, 31 through the end of the chapter. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right, and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked, or sick or in prison, and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. You may be seated.
Do you need a clicker? No. I wanted to thank you for allowing me to be back, and I want to thank Mark. We've had some time together over the past 3 or 4 years on the peanut butter. Sharing the peanut butter. Thank you, Brother Davis. We try to give 1 tablespoon of peanut butter a day, as he said. 1 tablespoon of peanut butter can save a person's life. Hard to imagine. When I started working in Haiti almost 9 years ago, I made about 70 some odd trips down there now. Started to wind down, started getting tired and old, and you said I couldn't retire, though, but I was planning on retiring. If you're not a Christian, you will say a coincidence happened this year and last year that you and Brother Arby was wanting to work with children, and I was looking for people to help it. Wow, that's a God thing, I say. I'm writing the book, some notes, and I call them God stories. We do that. Don't you let me read you my version. That was probably from the ESV or the New King James or whatever. I'm going to read those same verses, if you don't mind, from the HJH version, the Harry J. Hames. You know, he's talked to them, and you think about it. Just doing good things doesn't make us get to heaven. But if we're worshiping for Christ and doing what he wants us to do, we will do those things. But bear with me for the elders as I read this for you. I was hungry, and while you had all you needed to eat, you went ahead and ordered the dessert with your meal. I was thirsty, but you needed some more bottled water or some coffee from Starbucks. I was a stranger, and you wanted me deported. I needed clothes, but you needed more clothes with the little horse or the swoosh or the emblem on. I was sick, and you pointed out the behaviors that had led to my sickness. I was in prison, and you said, you're getting exactly what you deserved. And that's not I hope that's not irreverent to us, but to this day and age, apply that to our lives. How many people? We got a little thing on Facebook at home. People post about this guy that begs. He's over on 16th Avenue. He's at McDonald's, so-and-so, you know. What if we set time? One man told me he was at McDonald's one day, and a man came by and said, I want you to buy me some food. And so he was there. He's a minister, a friend of mine. And he said, okay. So he and his son walked into this McDonald's, and they brought him a meal and gave it to him. And then they went out and sat down. And his son looked up to him and said, well, why didn't we invite him to eat with us? Six-year-old, he's on the money. I was looking at your bulletin right here, and it says, in Isaiah 6, verse 8, here I am, send me. There's a word that I like to use sometimes called possibilities. And if you think about that word possibilities, if you break it down, is it possible to do work in Haiti? Is it possible to feed those children in Haiti? Is it possible to carry the gospel to the people in Haiti? Just this past week, I've been working, or past year, with a group in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got first time ever Sunday school books prepared for the teachers. Not in Creole, but in French, and we get it. We've got packets put together for all of the ministers, which we're going to be doing another conference September 21st for a week. They were going out way out of Port-au-Prince, way distance, to teach preachers from our churches and from the denominational world to do that. That's came together. That's working fantastic. He said on his post right there, the Healing Hands International drills those water wells. We can drill water wells, and I was with Healing Hands a number of years, but if we don't carry the living water, we've wasted our time. We feed thousands of children over the past 10 years and the food that goes down there. At Lilywah recently, we had just a lot of food stolen. And we had to lock it up. Now it's going down to delivery daily or weekly just to keep our food from getting stolen. But if we don't carry the bread of life to the people, we've wasted our time. So we appreciate that. We started our children off in schools there, and he was showing you at Bonet where we're building the new walls for the new home. And you think about that. Mark's going to talk to you about the peanut butter drive that UNA does. Over the past 4 years, we've collected over 41,000 jars of peanut butter. And that would equivalent to value in Haiti about $375,000. Now, how many people in here would work 2 solid days if you have a job? Minimum wage went from 37 cents to 62 cents an hour. And Nike and Gildan and Haynes said that's way too much money. So people started losing their jobs, doing different things. So we tried to do some menial jobs to help the members of our church and some of the kids that get too old to live in the orphanage. But a jar of peanut butter in Haiti costs like $9 and it's 16 cents a jar. So if you're making minimum wage, you're making $5. 2 days to buy one jar of peanut butter. And if you live in one of the orphanages, there's no way to get it. But last year, Mark and all of this group over here, and Mark has agreed to be over the peanut drive this year, collected that almost 17,000 jars on that last Sunday night. What we're doing right now is some of our older kids, we're trying to give them jobs to help this out. And we got 6 at Lilywah that have moved on and they're working in the art program. We have 6 of our girls and 2 young men that are working at Bonet, and churches collect cereal boxes. And the girls make these bracelets from cereal boxes. And we bring them back and sell them to the U.S. and do that. And then we have a program that they call it the Marché or the metal market. We had 2 of our older boys from Sunlight Children Home. And they go in and they take scrap metal and they make scrap. And so we were making crosses, we were making angels. And we said, well, let's do some things. And we started making them faith, hope, and love, and selling these. And so we had feeding to the older guys and giving a job for some of the women. Well, me being from Alabama and being the South, and when it hits here in the South, we go crazy. And I said, well, what could we do to increase sales? So I got them to make us some stuff like this. So I said, hey, that's what sells in the South. You know, sometimes we don't want to put a cross on our wall, but we'll hang up an Alabama and Auburn logo. So we tried to help them do that. Brother Davis was talking about the children. We had 12 children that have to leave Lilywah recently. The stove came up missing recently in Lilywah. And they cook charcoal inside that building. And you see the walls that are covered in the soot from the ashes. So can you imagine the cooks and the kids' lungs are the same way also. So that's where when John Colbert called me, we had priced an oven for $375 and we showed up as an American. The price all of a sudden went to $750, you know. So what it is, it was. So now we're trying to get... Last week they ran out of propane, had to go back to using charcoal, so it's something every day. What y'all done last Sunday just totally amazed me when I see that number, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for preparing. I thank you for going a few years ago or 2 years ago, and I thank you for sending toys down with me. I carried some that some of you ladies had gathered to carry to the children. When we carry the shoe boxes, we have a shoe box that has a little under $25, and every child in all of our orphanage gets a Christmas present in this shoebox, and y'all had put a lot of stuff in there. And my grandson and grandchildren will say, Grandpa, is that all I'm getting? And this past December, the kids from Lilywah would open that box up and would say, is all of this for me? Might be in a yo-yo or a bag of marbles or a little beanie baby that you didn't want anymore. I know Brother Willingham's sister would be proud to see that slides back there. She gives me T-shirts. They have tons of T-shirts. She has 2 children. And a kid in Haiti loves a T-shirt with anything written on it. We carry the T-shirts down, and they'll go into. We had one little boy had on a pink T-shirt recently, bright pink. It said, "I'm a sexy soccer mom." You know, he didn't have a clue what it said, but it was a good-looking shirt that had a soccer ball on it. You know, but I didn't have the heart to tell him, you know, do that. So, but he was proud of that shirt. I thank you very much. I think that the Word of God is the only thing that's going to save this country. They were dedicated to Satan a number of years ago. We were formed in 1776, and their country became a nation in 1804. And they will ask me, I've quit saying, somebody saying, "How are you doing, Brother Harry?" And I say, "I'm blessed." And the Haitians will ask me now, "Why are you blessed? And why are we not blessed, you know?" So maybe I'm burdened to have so much. Maybe I'm burdened that I'm not sharing what I should. I ask you to look at the word possibilities again. It is possible. And the second word is ability. What ability do you have to help these children? Maybe we could skip that Perrier bottle tomorrow. Maybe we could pass up Starbucks and save that $6 and some odd cents. Think about a child. Think about a jar of peanut butter. Thank you for allowing me to come. My wife, George, is with me tonight. And if we always have this little plastic box. If you'd like to look at some of this stuff, all the money goes back down there to the children. I thank you for loving the children. Brother Davis, to tell you that we touch a kid's hand, his hand is swollen. His stomach's big like mine. And if it's hard, we know he's malnourished and his hair starts turning orange. We take that kid and give him some food. God has blessed those children at Lilibois for putting you there with us. As I slow down, as I back up, I thought, wow, what's going to happen to those 50-plus kids? God provides. I'm sure Brother Joe tells you that every Sunday. God provided you guys in Florence and Petersville and wherever. Thank you very much.
We do appreciate you being with us, Harry. I always enjoy talking to him. He just gives me a lot of perspective. I haven't been yet. I plan to. But it's just something we don't see. With our lives, with all we have going on, we can't imagine it. For the past 4 or 5 years, past 2 years here, on a large scale, you've been involved in raising peanut butter. And you've responded in an overwhelming way. The first year, 2 years ago, that we did it, we raised 2,436 jars. Last year, we raised 4,015 jars for a two-year total of 6,451 jars that have come from our family here. That's amazing. That's exceptional. As we go forward for this year's drive, you know, kind of burdened with what number do I put? You know, what goal do I give us to reach? You know, I don't want to overburden you. I don't want to overburden us, but at the same time, there's a great need to be fulfilled. When I had met with Brother Harry earlier this week, he told me something interesting that I think will kind of help us set a goal, will kind of hit home with us all. The 4,015 jars that we raised last year, he said, would be about what it would take to sustain the 53 kids at Lilibois for a year. That's amazing. That's substantial. Knowing that we can do that for a calendar year. So I'm just going to challenge to get at least 4,016. One more jar. And if another comes after that, and so be it. And if another one comes after that, so be it. We've taken a vested interest in these kids. We have so generously given of our means to make sure these kids have a place to live. Let's feed them too. And I know you will. And I want to thank you for your support. I want to thank you for the support I know you're going to give for this. Big Star in St. Florine will be working with this again. They've been so gracious, so generous in the past. I know we'll be able to get a jar of peanut butter just like this size. For less than $1.25 a jar. There's a couple things you can do. You can go to the grocery store and you can buy peanut butter, and that's fine. That's good. If you do that, we do ask you to be aware of expiration dates. Try to get it as far outdated as you can. Sometimes that can be an issue that arises. But also, what worked overwhelmingly well last year is you can give money to any of the elders or myself, and we'll put in an order with Big Star. They've worked with us so well. I just go tell them how many cases, and they'll have it there at the end of the week. They help load it. It's just great. What we've done the last couple years has been great. Brother Harry says the cases that we have, they're easy to ship. They ship quicker. They ship easier because they're already boxed, which means they get down there sooner. So I'm excited as we do that again, as we kick this off again tonight. Once again, I just can't thank you enough for your support. These guys that have went before me tonight, they've done all the work. I don't have to appeal to you. The appeal's been made. The need has been shown. It's here. And as we think about an invitation tonight, Matthew 25 is it. As we've looked at and we've discussed, that's a picture of Judgment Day. That's a picture of allowing us to measure up where we fit into the big picture. Where are our priorities? And I just ask that of myself and that everybody here that we look into our hearts, and that we look into God's Word and make sure that we're doing everything that we can do to be feeding those who are hungry. Because He says when we do that, we're doing it to Him. We're doing it to Jesus. This evening, if you have any need, if you have anything on your heart, we are a family. We rally together and we support causes like this, but we rally together and we support each other. We're here for each other. If you're struggling tonight, if something's weighing on your mind, if there's a need that you have, come tell us about it. Let us gather around you. Let us rally around you and let us help you out. If you've never been baptized, if you've never named Jesus the Lord over your life, if you've never experienced the joy of giving and feeding children, we ask that you make that decision and make it tonight. Whatever the need may be, we do ask, if there is one, come down forward while we stand and while we sing.